You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. And we're moving up from mid-major Pac-12 level this year. We're talking a little college hoops today. We've been talking almost exclusively WNBA, but July is an opportunity for coaches to hit the road and get out and see people. And, you know, there are schedules that are being released and so many other good things get coming up as we get ready for the NCAA women's season. And I'm pleased to welcome back for the first time as a Pac-12-level coach. Before, he was just a lowly mid-major coach. But friend of the podcast, Kelly Graves from Oregon, joins us now. Coach, how are you?
David, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure. Now, Coach.
Hey, I just want you to know, now that I've raised a level, I'm just still the same guy.
Well, but I'm counting on you for important information. So one of the things that I never get with people here, is it Oregon or Oregon?
Oregon.
Okay, well, I'm going to make sure that I straighten everybody out here back east now that, well, but then again, there's no ball west of Mississippi anyway around here. So.
Oh, careful now. I just gotten you to Gonzaga from Gonzaga.
That's right.
So now you got to learn Oregon. There you go.
All right, well, Coach, congratulations on the change. You know, I won't say an upgrade because Gonzaga is a hell of a program and great job in taking it to high levels. But, you know, first let's talk about just a little bit about the move. It did just seem like everything fell into the right time for you.
Well, it did. You know, I've had a few opportunities to leave Gonzaga over the years, and there was really only one place, you know, in the Pac-12 that I would have left for, and it was Oregon. And, you know, just some things, the way things worked out this past season, arguably our best season on paper, Gonzaga, when you look at, you know, the success that we had. It was just, I don't know, I was at a crossroads, I think, in my professional life, and then this opportunity came, and I thought it just all kind of fit together. There was a reason that, you know, I believe it all worked out this way, and I just felt that I had to do it. This was the time to do it.
Yeah, now you're from the area. You spent a lot of time up in Oregon Woods, too, right?
We did, yeah. We have a vacation home. We've had a home here for many, many years, and my wife's born and raised Oregonian, and most of her family lives right in Portland. So, yeah, there were just a lot of things. You know, my boys are getting older, and I'm doing their thing, and so there wasn't as much to just hold me to Spokane as maybe 5 years ago.
And that was going to be my other question. I thought that, you know, your kids are all out of high school now, right?
No, we'll only have one left.
Oh, okay.
In high school, yeah, when we finally make the move. So, yeah, in fact, my son, my oldest son was a freshman at Santa Clara last year, and he's actually going to transfer up and be a Duck. So he'll be my only family here for a year. My wife is staying in Spokane with my middle son, who will be a senior next year, and he wants to graduate in high school there. And we got a lot to do here, David, so it works, you know what I mean? It works out great that she's going to be there holding down the family, and I'll be here kind of getting things started.
You know, you mentioned being a Duck. Is it an upgrade from being a Bulldog to a Duck?
Well, you'd have to be more specific. Hey, we had it pretty good there, my friend. I loved Gonzaga, and still do. I mean, I still consider myself, you know, part Zag, no question about it, once it gets in your blood. And we did so many things there, but the reality is, this is an amazing place. I mean, just the O brand, you know, is about as good as it gets in college athletics, and the facilities, the basketball, you know, the locker rooms, the arena, practice facility, you know, the success of the other sports, you know, what's expected here. We won four national championships here at the University of Oregon last year. And so there's a real environment of a culture of success. And they give you what you need to be successful. And obviously the Nike relationship. So you start putting all that kind of stuff together, and it really is an amazing place and a great job.
Well, anytime you lose a game this year, you get to just throw away that color uniform, right, and go to a different one?
Hey, six uniforms we have.
Six?
Yeah, six. I'm not exactly sure why we need that many, but we've got them. I just hope that the freshmen know which one we're playing with on any given night.
Yeah, you know.
I'm just wondering when the you know, when one shows up in her yellow and she's supposed to be in her green for that game.
You know, what do you do when somebody has a career high in the yellow and says, I want to wear that, but somebody else already had a career high in the green and wants to wear that?
Boy, yeah, no, I don't
These
know.
Are problems that you never had to face before, Coach.
No, you're right. It was either on the road we were blue, at home white. That's it. That's all you got, kid.
Well, you know, it certainly is a different environment where you are, you know, the Nike brand, as you mentioned, and, you know, so many other big-time sports that are always great to see and help the women's basketball programs. But, you know, in the meantime, this is a program that hasn't exactly done the most luck. It's struggled the last few years, and one thing that I did notice that's going to be different for you, and I'm sure will be a focus, is attendance. I mean, you literally, at a school probably a fifth the size of Oregon, you had five times the attendance at Gonzaga that Oregon drew last year. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about raising interest in your program?
Well, and Gonzaga didn't start that way. I mean, we literally started from scratch there and had to build that. I think the first thing you got to do is you have to build the, you know, kind of product that – the kind of product that people want to go see. I thought at Gonzaga we always played an exciting brand of basketball. In fact, I haven't done the new math, but over like the last 5 years, all the three leading scoring teams in the nation over that time period were UConn, Notre Dame, and Gonzaga. So, you know, we play a fun style of basketball. I think that helps. You've got in, you know, winning is going to get people out, because there was a time when this was the standard in the Pac-10 at that time,
mm-hmm.
In attendance. And when the conference tournament started, I think the first couple were here in Eugene because of the attendance. So there is a fan base, I think, that's waiting to, you know, be energized. But you have to have a good product, and, you know, and quite frankly, one of the things I do well is I'm out there. I've already spoken at I don't know how many dozens of events and groups, and in fact, I have dinner tonight with a group of people at a private home. And you know, I love talking about my program. I'm pretty energetic, and so I think I'm pretty good at shaking hands and kissing babies and getting people excited about our team. So we'll be visible, and I think that's what draws people in women's basketball. You know, I look at Gonzaga, and of those 6,000 fans that we would draw most nights, 9/10 of them couldn't tell you two teams that were in last year's women's basketball Final Four. You know, they're not necessarily fans of women's basketball, fans of my team. And that's kind of how it's like in women's basketball, unfortunately. You know, we could draw six on a Thursday night at our place and then, you know, a few miles over at Eastern Washington where Coach Shuler has an amazing program, they might draw 300 the next night. Well, so it's necessarily that area is a basketball area. No, they like my team. And so we'll build that here. We'll get our kids success, you know, make them access to our fans and do things the right way.
Well, you got about 10 people that are returning from last year's team. Now, obviously, you know, I can't really just say when you take over a program because you haven't exactly done too many of these. But are you more? Would you prefer to have an incoming freshman or an incoming transfer that you can take over and say, this is how I'm going to do things, or somebody that has the college-level experience in the Pac-12 that these ladies have, that they're going to now have to learn your system as opposed to the system that was before?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I'm going to have to adjust, you know, how I coach and the way we've done things to what they've kind of been used to, I think, to maximize, you know, their potential and why they were recruited here. They were recruited here to play an offensive system, you know, the Paul Westhead system. At the same time, we obviously have been successful doing things the way we've done things, and so on the court. And so we'll try and implement as much of that as possible. So I think it's a combination of there's certainly some talent here. There's some definite pieces to build around. I think for me the biggest challenge has been just changing the culture. At Gonzaga, we were used to winning. Our kids expected to win. They, you know, and that's how we trained every day. Well, here they haven't had that same kind of success, and so we have some more issues that we didn't have there. And that's going to, I think, be the hardest part to change, not the on-court stuff.
Particularly, I mean, you got two ladies coming back that averaged over 20 points a game last year in Aline and Rowe. and both have been extremely talented. Impressed the heck out of me when I saw them play in Connecticut. It's interesting. What kind of struck me as odd, especially when you deal with a case like Chamberlain, when I was looking at last year's information and looking at the Oregon website, the media guide last year had a caricature of Paul Wett on the cover. And I looked at that and I said, you know what? I don't see a picture of Kelly being on the cover of his media guide unless it's alongside his players.
Well, yeah, with me it's always been about the players. I mean, that's, you know, and that's the way it should be. It's not about coach. I tell people all the time, coaches lose more games than they ever win. And the honest truth, my last year at St. Mary's, I think we won like 26 games. My first year at GU, we won 5. I tell everybody, I didn't get 21 games dumber over the summer. You know what I mean? It's about the players, and we have great players, I think, to build around and to promote. And Jillian Aileen is an incredible football player, a high motor. She never quits. And you can't scout for that kind of, enthusiasm and toughness and assertiveness. She just beats you on sheer will. And I just love the way she plays, and she's even a nicer person off the court. Just does everything right, and a real fan favorite in these parts, and a professor favorite, and she's just a great kid. And Crochet Rowe is, offensively as gifted as any off guard, I think, that I've seen, certainly. And I think she's got a chance to be somebody real special as well. So we've got a couple of marquee kids who've had a lot of success at the Pac-12 level. who can kind of work around and build around.
But as you mentioned, you know, the key thing will be to teach them to defend at the Pac-12 level.
Well, we were only 349 last in the nation last year in defense, but I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb right now, David, and right here on your show I'm going to say we will not be 349.
Well, you know, can we make a bet, you know, something like Rory McIlroy's father did, you know,
wow.
Then down the line.
What about that?
Can we do that someplace in Vegas that the Oregon women's basketball team won't be 349th in the league?
Now, you know, we're the NCAA. I can't bet. You know that.
That's true, but then it can't. Now, I did see that, you know, you guys have been, you know, you're always active with your Twitter accounts and the school is and all. So it looks like the team is spending some good time bonding with you and the new coaching staff. And, you know, it looks like things are really going along well. One thing that is interesting to me is now here, you know, Coach Westhead was a WNBA coach. And, mm-hmm. you know, so they could see the ring he had. But it's nice to have Nicole Powell, who is a current player in the WNBA, be there as an assistant coach to show them what they could do, too.
Yeah, Nicole's amazing. I think she's a real rising star in our business. Helped me last year, first year in coaching up at Gonzaga, and she was excited to make this. But, yeah, this will be her 11th and hopefully last season in the league. she's been there. She's done that. You know, our players can relate to her. She can show, you know, because Nicole, you followed that league for a long time. She's not the greatest athlete in the league. And she's just really smart, and she's, you know, developed a role wherever she's played and done whatever is needed to survive in the league. And she's been a very effective player. And I think she can be that same kind of coach and a great leader of our young women in our program. And so excited to see her future. I mean, I think she's got a real gift for coaching, and I anticipate that she's gonna be one of the really good ones.
Now, we did mention at the start, it is July, which means it's time for coaches everywhere to go playing around trying to chase after high school kids, which is an adventure in itself, never mind the fact that half of these tournaments that the people set up are not set up efficiently for coaches or giving information, or, of course, the always popular, let's charge them an extra $100 for the book of names. So what's different this year as a Pac-12 level coach in going out and chasing the AAU scene?
Well, even though I do have a budget, and I've always had a budget, I don't worry about it as much here. I'm a little bit more willing to pay some of those it's not exorbitant. What would the use outrageous, but you know the prices that we pay for those packets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't worry about that as much here at the University of Oregon. We just go ahead and pay it. But, you know, it's challenging this July. You know, we're so spread out nowadays. I wish that we consolidate all these littler tournaments into a few big major tournaments, I think, like the men do. I think their model is a little bit better than ours in a lot of ways. But, yeah, we'll have our whole staff out. Nicole can't go, so we've certified another one of our staff members, and so she'll be out. And we're crisscrossing the country, big guy, and I end up in the South. And you know me, my body's not built for much time in the South in July.
I was going to say, you know.
Way too sweating going on.
Yeah, well, you know, your hair gets messed.
Well, that's the one thing. Yeah, it doesn't lie down like other people with the humidity.
So, you know, you in the past, when we have talked, you talked about some of the things that you really liked and like about that whole scene. And there was, you know, there's constant evolution and change. You know, it's been a while since we discussed this topic. Are you of the thought that things are getting better in terms of helping the coaches to go out and do this recruiting, or is it still just as a problem as it was before?
Well, I think there are new problems. I do like what Nike's done. You know, this new EYBL that they've developed, where the Nike teams are kind of they're all meeting and playing at selected tournaments, and they're playing each other. So we don't have to go in on day one and watch a really good team who has really good players, good enough to play, you know, for us, beat teams by 100 points. You know, you can't tell if they can do anything other than make ups. And so at least the competition's better, so we can really evaluate players playing against, you know, really, really good competition. I think that's a real plus. I think Nike gets it. That's been a real positive. I think overall, honestly, David, I think the level of play is good. I really do. The young girls, they play so hard. They really do, and they're fun to watch. I just wish, again, there weren't so many tournaments that we have to go see and support. I think that's still one of the negatives. You know me. I've never been a huge fan of summer reading anyway. I've thought for years we should eliminate it or certainly curtail it. I like the 7 on, the 10 off, the 7 on. I do like that. I think we're headed in that direction. But I just, you know, I think these kids play too much. I'd like to see them in the gym working on their games and not necessarily just playing games all summer. But that's me. I'm old school in some ways, and that's one of the ways.
No, I definitely agree with you. I think that there are too many games and not enough just practice and work on your game times. And that's why one of the things I would love is watching Debbie Antonelli talk about her 100-shot challenge, you know, get up 100 shots a day. And, you know, instead of just putting up layups and just putting up three-pointers, make the mid-range shots too, work different aspects of your game.
Yeah, and not just with the ball. There's so many, and I've gone to tons of workouts. You know, all the work is how to play with the ball in your hand, and there's just not enough emphasis sometimes on playing without the ball, because most of the game is spent playing without the ball. But you know, like I said, there's a lot of programs that are doing it right, and there are others that just aren't. But we work to do across the board.
I'm sure. Now your wife, you know, spent years getting used to you in blue, white, and red. Now, how's she adjusting to this orange and green?
Orange and green? Oh, yellow. Bite your tongue, young man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh.
Orange and black are the Beavers.
That's it. No, I'm sorry. Yes, yellow. Definitely yellow. Lots of yellow.
Well, I think we're yellow and green, I think, officially. But, you know, again, because of our relationship with Nike, there's a lot of black. There's a lot of gray. There's really, I haven't quite figured out which green is like the Oregon green, because we've got the Hunter green, the Kelly green, all different shades up the fluorescent, and it all works. So I think Mary is going to be just fine. She'll have lots of different combinations.
You know, and the only other thing I wonder, though, is, you know, if you get upset with a player, if they tried to hide in the woods on the court yet?
Yeah, what do you think of that?
You don't want me to discuss that.
Well, hey, everybody has their opinion. That's the one thing. Everybody knows the court and has an opinion on it. If you were here in person and saw it in person, you'd get it more. It I think, translates better looking at it, you know, in person than it does on TV.
Probably right.
Nuances more.
Probably right. But then again, you know, hey, out there, you guys got blue and red football fields out in the West, too. So.
That's right. Hey, and listen, you and I wouldn't get lost in many places, buddy. Unfortunately.
Well, Coach, you know, I want to wish you good luck, and I know you're traveling out there right away tomorrow, so you know, I won't keep you any longer. You're going to go, like you said, you still have a meeting tonight with alumni, and then it's going to be off on the road. Yeah, we appreciate you taking time to talk about what's going on in Duckland.
Well, I appreciate it, and I really, again, appreciate what you do. I know we talked before what you do for women's basketball. We just don't have enough advocates out there for our sport because there's so many good things that are happening, and I wish more of those things would get out. So I really do appreciate what you do, and, man, you get those today's guests, aside, you know, not included, you get some big-time A-list. Doing a heck of a job, my friend.
Hey, this week I've got Pac-12 level talent on.
Well, no, I'm a Pac-12 coach. I'm not Pac-12 level yet. I got to work my way into it. Right?
I see. You got to go through one full year first before you get that,
there
huh?
There you go.
Okay.
Let's get on the block.
Well, Coach, good luck to you. Safe travels, most importantly. And we're looking forward to seeing what the Pac-12 is going to look like this year.
Me too.